right. Thanks, Ken. Okay, one, I think, unofficial happening at Lakeside. I was thinking about this with the weather this morning, but we had a little grief share meeting for skiers, snowmobilers, those who ice fish after the service. I'll meet over there. This weather's got me down. Yeah, great to be here this morning. My name's Dan Farron. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to share from God's Word. For those I haven't had the opportunity to meet, I see a lot of new people or those who are visiting at Lakeside. My wife Becky and I have lived here since 2012, and I've been attending Lakeside since then with our kids Isaac and Gemma. I work at Mediba and have worked there since coming up, and during or at the moment I'm serving as part of Lakeside's elder team as well. And so one of the things that I'm really excited about today is the opportunity to share from God's Word. And with that, one thing as I was reflecting on kind of our services here at Lakeside is that I'm really excited that we consistently spend time in whole books of the Bible. And so with that, when Paul asked me to kind of speak on like a one Sunday kind of as we're between series, I figured this was our chance to like do one book of the Bible in one day. So we're going to do a one-week series in Deuteronomy. And with that, we're doing like a quick flyby. And maybe you're thankful that it's only 1 week in Deuteronomy. I don't know. So Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. And it is considered the last book of the Pentateuch, which are the five books at the start of the Bible outlining creation, Israel's history, God's covenants, and law to the Israelites. The book is the setting of a significant occasion. The Israelites are camped at the edge of the Promised Land, and after years of waiting in the wilderness, they're about to enter a beautiful land that God has promised to them and their forefather Abraham. It's really, like, really, it's pretty exciting and amazing time when we think of like this time in Israel's history and this journey from slavery into the wilderness and then entering God's promised place for the Israelites. And the book is packed with a lot of different there's a lot packed into this book, and we could spend many weeks learning from it. However, while I was doing personal study in Deuteronomy, there's one theme that stood out to me again and again, and that's the theme of remembering. Throughout this book, I'll make sure I get my notes in the right order here. Throughout this book, the concept of remembering occurs 26 times in both positive and negative forms, and that's like directly stated, remember, or do not forget, many more times by implication. Moses tells the Israelites to remember about 16 times, well, 10 times he tells them, do not forget. And I find the latter to be particularly impactful. There's a lot of power to that statement of do not forget. I remember my parents saying that to me many times growing up. Do not forget to clean your room. Do not forget to take out the garbage. To provide a really quick summary, though, Moses has led Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, and through the wilderness for 40 years. They've had major ups and downs along the way, and now God is preparing the people to go into the land that God has promised them. This is the chance, this is God's chance to share with them all that they need to hear to be successful. And one instruction, this one instruction that God gives Israel 26 different times throughout Deuteronomy is do not forget, remember. And this is because Israel's future faithfulness depends on remembering what God has done. And so that's going to be our theme today. Future faithfulness depends on remembering what God has done. The reality that my future faithfulness depends on remembering what God has done is something that I've seen to be true in my life on numerous occasions. It's been particularly highlighted for me by something that's certainly relevant at this time of the year. We have celebrated the gift of Jesus in our lives, and certainly this is a time and season of gift giving. And so from that side, I'm curious, we've got kids in service today. Any like amazing gifts you received, you can shout out what it was. Did somebody say tarantula? Did I mishear that? I hope I misheard that. Was that flippers? Sandals? Shark sandals. Ooh. Olive wearing them right now. Nice. Right on. What is that over here? Snorkel gear. Nice. Yeah, snorkel gear. Great. All right. Some cool gifts. Those could go together quite well. Maybe share. Do you remember who you received those gifts from? Yeah, Steve's giving me the nod. Yeah, Shark Sandals, was that Everett? Yeah. Remember who it's from? Yeah, well done. Okay, for the kids, I really want to encourage you, reminder for you today and challenge is as you receive gifts, like continue to remember who those came from. As you use the gifts, remember who they came from. Because I recognize I'm not that good at remembering, particularly when it comes to gifts. In my life, I've seen the reality that our faithfulness depends on remembering what God has done. To be true in my recollection of gifts that I've received. And my faithfulness or faithlessness has been shaped by what I commit to memory. Becky and I received a gift that really helped us as a young married couple when we needed a car. And remembering this gift has shaped shaped my life in many ways. One is that in remembering it, it made me attuned to car maintenance, diligently watching the kilometers on the car for the next oil change. It inspired me towards generosity in having received and seen generosity given to us. And it has created a humility and a thankfulness, recognizing that so little of what I have is a result of the strength of my own doing, with this being a gift. The memory of a gift received changes how I take care of it and continues to shape my relationship to the giver. How much sweeter is my coffee in the morning when I remember that Becky, my wife, thought of me while she was at the grocery store and bought that for me? How much thankfulness results from sitting in my house thinking of the people who helped me when I just couldn't afford that, or when we were struggling to do home renovations, and either with the knowledge or just the extra hands to get that done. And this is why God's message to the Israelites resonates for me. I see the impact that a gift can have on my life and relationships when I don't forget the gift or giver. I know how prone I am to forget, and I want my life to be shaped for a future of faithfulness by remembering what God has done, the many gifts that he has provided. The reality that future faithfulness depends on remembering isn't unique to me or Israel. This is a reality that we all share. And that is highlighted by what happens when we forget. God warns Israel that what will cause them to forget as they enter the promised land. These same risks to forgetting are the ones that we share today. As Moses speaks, the Israelites are about to leave a land of nomadic travel where they have had to rely on God daily for their provision. Every morning in the wilderness, God provided food for the Israelites. They survived in a desert because God's provision of manna. Now they are entering a land flowing with milk and honey. They will live in buildings, drink from wells, eat from the harvest of the land. God knows that as they move into this land, comfort and plenty will threaten their memory of God. God knows that as the immediacy of their need and his provision decreases, as their wealth and comfort increase, they risk forgetting him. Don't we face this exact risk of forgetting today? Well, look at this. Do you mind clicking the slide for me? Great. All right. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your collection of snowmobiles and bikes grow large, you're busy with dance and hockey tournaments, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. And so, obviously I've taken a little bit of liberty with this, but it's so true for us today that the memory of God can be crowded out by good things in our lives. Here's what Deuteronomy 8:11-14 actually says, as God shares what Israel will find in the promised land, what they'll find in the promised land, tempting them to forget their God. Forgot it. Great. Flocks, not snowmobiles. Today, we live in the setting that God was warning the Israelites about. By no means was God warning them that the promised land was bad. This was a great place that he was bringing them into. His caution was to ensure that amidst the plenty and all the good of their new home, their hearts would not become proud and forget their need of God. This is a caution that we need to pay attention to, given all the good that we are surrounded by, lest in the abundance of good things, we forget the one who provides them for us. How easy it is for us to forget in the midst of comfort and provision, to forget what God has done in the past, to forget God's provision in the present, for our hearts to believe that our bank accounts are filled by our own hands, for us to become distracted by things, toys, recreation, extracurriculars. The risks of forgetting are real for us, just as they were for Israel. And thankfully, God doesn't leave us without direction. All throughout Scripture, God is inviting us to remember him. In Deuteronomy specifically, God shares how we are to remember him. God makes it clear as he speaks to Israel that their memory of God is of critical importance. Our future faithfulness depends on remembering what God has done. Deuteronomy directly highlights this theme on 26 occasions and many more by implication. And we know that memory is important in our own lives. Who hasn't felt the relational impact of forgetting a birthday or a significant event? What we recall impacts the quality and shape of our relationships. Yet, we face so many challenges as distraction and distance from events cause us to forget. Given the importance, let's dive into how God invites Israel to a practice of reflection. As God presents the importance of remembering, God doesn't present the concept as a vague principle, but gives clear instructions as to what we are to recall, what we are to remember. As we consider God's call not to forget, we need to recognize the intentionality required to do so. The command, "do not forget," conveys the seriousness and gravity God places on remembering, while the frequency of remember conveys our active role in doing so. Remembering isn't something that just happens. It's something that we need to be intentional about. God is calling Israel to an active, not passive practice. Throughout Deuteronomy, Moses instructs Israel to teach their children, write God's law on their houses, like literally on the door frames, on their entrances to their gates. Talks about what God, calls Israel to talk about what God has done, and to do that when they wake up and when they go to sleep, when they eat and when they walk in the road. So clearly, like a frequency to this that is not, I don't know, it's not just once a week, not just on a Sunday. Thankfully, God is just as clear in outlining what we are to recall. Throughout Deuteronomy, there are two ways he continually invites the Israelites to practice remembering. Remember what God has done, and remember your former state. Remember who you were. All right. Oh, thanks. We got it. Nice. Thanks, Barb. The first way God instructs Israel in this is to commit him and what he has done to memory. Here's some examples of this emphasis. In Deuteronomy 6:12, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Deuteronomy 7:18, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Deuteronomy 8:2, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years." I think I read that twice. Deuteronomy 7:18 is speaking to remembering, remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. What is clear throughout Deuteronomy is the emphasis upon remembering what God has done. Israel is to recall God's power displayed over Egypt, God's rescue of Israel from slavery, and God's provision for Israel in the wilderness. God knows that Israel will guard their hearts for future faithfulness by intentionally reflecting on the defining moments of their relationship. They will not forget God if they recall what he has done in their lives and the lives of their ancestors. Now we can switch to the next slide. God also prepares Israel for faithfulness by instructing them to remember their former state. So they're called to remember what God has done, and they're called to remember who they were. God knows that one of the greatest threats to his memory is a pride that blinds us to his love and our need for him. As God instructs Israel in remembering, he continually tells them to reflect on their former state, who they used to be. Deuteronomy 15:15 says, "Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you." Deuteronomy 9:7, "Remember this, and never forget how you aroused the anger of the Lord your God in the wilderness. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord." God commands the Israelites to remember what they were, that they were not a mighty people. They were not a righteous people. They were few, they were powerless, and even amidst God's rescue of them, They were rebellious. "Can't we go back to Egypt?" they asked. As much as I'm sure Israel would like to forget their past or at least blame their failings on their forefathers, God wants them to commit to memory the various ways that they were the least of nations and people. They were powerless as slaves in Egypt. They were homeless as sojourners in the wilderness, and they were unfaithful as they rebelled against God and his servant Moses. Through the practice of remembering the various forms of poverty that Israel once experienced, God seeks to guard their hearts for faithfulness. Reflecting on what God has done in the past shapes their hearts for future service. God gives two clear instructions outlining what Israel should remember. He calls Israel to continually remember what God has done and who they were as a people. And at the core, God knows that Israel's future faithfulness depends on remembering what he has done. God knows that if Israel doesn't forget him, their hearts will be prepared for ongoing faithfulness. He has told them what to remember, and he tells them why. Remembering God and their former poverty results in courage, results in gratitude, humility, and compassion. Deuteronomy 3:21, 22, and 7 and 18 outline how this results in courage. Recalling what God has done will always be a source of courage. As Israel enters the promised land to face fortified cities and people known to be giants, they need only look back at what God has accomplished in the past to find courage. They find their courage in remembering a God who humbled the world's greatest nation in order to free his chosen people. For Israel, recalling what God has done, his choosing of them as a people, and care for them can only create a sense of gratitude and appreciation for God's favor. He calls them in remembering to express this appreciation in Deuteronomy 2, 7, and 4, 32 to 39. God chose them and favored them as people, not out of their own doing. As Israel remembers their former poverty, their hearts will grow in gratitude for God's redeeming work. Next is humility. In Deuteronomy 5, 15, 8, 1 to 2, 9, 6 to 7, remembering that God's favor does not rest on Israel because of their righteousness or faithfulness shapes humble hearts. Where there's a sense of self-sufficiency and merit, pride takes root. For Israel to reflect on their failings and the many times and ways that they have rebelled against God is an antidote to pride. It is an invitation to look into the mirror of the past and see the similarity of reflection between old Israel and current Israel. What a reminder that reflection is of their ongoing need for God. And last is compassion. God shapes Israel's hearts into hearts of compassion by inviting them to remember who they were. As Israel settles in the promised land, their society is making a shift from a nomadic people to property owners. Through recollection of their nomadic past, God invites Israel to have compassion rather than disdain for those among the nation who are marginalized and lack property. God tells Israel to remember their former way of life as nomads and slaves, and to let this memory shape their interaction with sojourners, widows, and fatherless, whom they once were. God knows that when we remember, it doesn't just change our thoughts, it transforms our hearts. And this is why our memories have the power to support our ongoing faithfulness. So just as God wanted to guard the hearts of Israel, he wants to do so with us today. Our future faithfulness depends on remembering what God has done. Like Israel, we serve a God greater than any nation. Like Israel, we are a people rescued from slavery. And like Israel, we have a story of God's favor poured out on rebellious and faithless people. Do you remember what God has done? Do you recall how he has changed your life? Or are you prone to forgetting? God's reasons for encouraging Israel to remember are as relevant for us today as they were back then. God knows that our hearts and minds are best shaped by an environment that remembers him. Today, the effects of remembering God are as needed as they were then. We find courage for the challenges we face as we consider what God has done. Reflecting on God's favor towards us creates hearts that are grateful and sing his praise. Recalling our former slavery to sin and the great cost by which we were redeemed humbles our hearts. remembering the various forms of poverty into which God has poured his riches gives us compassion for those who are in similar situation. Do you lack courage? Are you discontent? Does pride and self-sufficiency creep in? Are you indifferent towards those that are lonely, poor, homeless, and spiritually bankrupt? Is this the effect of forgetting the place from which God rescued you? Like Israel, we risk forgetting what God has done. We live in a world of distraction, comfort, and provision. There's so many good things, let alone inherently sinful things in our world that cause us to forget God. For those who have put their faith in God, this can never take away what God has accomplished. And something I want to say again, for those who have put their faith in God, our forgetting can never undo what God has accomplished. But forgetting does limit the joy that we experience in our relationship with God. A relationship that continues to grow is always greater than one that consistently needs to be rekindled. So I want to invite you to the same invitation that Moses made to Israel. Like Israel, your future faithfulness is based on remembering what God has done. And here's how you can practice remembering. Make reflection an active part of your life. Don't let it be a passive response. Don't leave it to be something that just happens. God tells Israel 26 times that they need to remember. So this isn't something he intends them or us to do casually. Just as God outlined for Israel, we need to remember in two ways. We need to remember what we used to be like. What was our former state before God entered our lives, before we trusted him? And we need to remember what God has done. What has he done in our lives? What has he done in our families' lives and the lives around us? In order to remember, we need to make this a continual process. We can't practice this once and then expect the memories to last. It's something that we need to find ways of doing consistently, not just a Sunday. And here's some ways that I've come to mind for me to make this a regular habit or something that I do consistently. But I want to say that ultimately, each of us has to find, like, what is the way that this happens in our own lives. One is to reflect weekly, regularly. Share with your family or friends how you've seen God at work. Do so consistently. Do it again and again, not just once. What a great thing to know one another's stories with God, not just our own, but to know the stories of those that we sit at a table with. Keep a journal. I'm not really good at this, but spend quiet time in reflection. And whether that's something that you do daily, whether you reflect by journaling weekly or monthly, like commit to doing that with some regularity. And ask questions. And this is where the kids in the room can really help us. Kids, ask your parents how God has worked in their lives. Ask where they have seen God at work. And make this a regular conversation by asking your friends and family what he has done. So these are simple suggestions for integrating this as a habit into your life. And I can't prescribe how you accomplish this. I can only provide ideas. What matters is to take God at his word and determine how to regularly prepare yourself to be faithful by remembering what God has done. So a final way that we can practice remembering as we do this together is by sharing in this process as a community, not just individually. As each of us shares what God has done and what we were like before his intervention, we're encouraged to reflect on what God has done in our own lives. As you remember, I remember. The practice of remembering as a community is something that Jesus himself introduced to his disciples in the form of communion. 1 Corinthians 11, 23-25 says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me.'" So one way that God invites us to remember is through communion. Communion is a time when we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice, his body that was broken and blood that was shed because of our sin. In it, we recall the greatest example of God's love and his strength, that he would die for us, a sinful people. As we participate in communion today, we'll take a time as a community to pause so that we can reflect on what God has done in our lives. God invites those who've put their faith in him to participate in communion, remembering what he has done on their behalf. As the attendants bring around the bread and cup, please take time to reflect on what God has done, what God has done for you through Jesus on the cross. So I'm going to invite the attendants up, and I think our music team up as well. And again, my invitation to you is, as the bread and the cup is passed around, to take some time to pause and reflect. What has God done for you? Who were you before God intervened in your life? With that, I encourage you to write that down too, whether that's in your journal, a piece of paper that you have with you, even if that's just on your phone, sending an email to yourself. And after communion, we will take a few minutes for anyone to share their memory of what God has done in their lives, and opportunity for us to make this something that we do together. All right, so the attendants are going to bring that around. And with that, as you receive the bread and cup, please hold on to them until afterwards, and I'll pray and we'll take communion together.